Then you say also rabim umavat mechitza. The heavy traffic, the flow of traffic is not prevented. So then the mechitzas are not considered bound. So we usually assume, not everybody agrees, we usually assume that a tzuras ha-pesach is mechitza grua. You just have economy kam, then we assume that's a mechitza grua. And so if you're dealing with the rishus ha-ram deraisa, then you simply can't make an erev that consists merely of tzuras ha-pesach, because the erev is not going to be able to block the flow of traffic. But if the whole area that you're working with, you want to carry there is only a karmelist, so the whole prohibition to carry is only the rabbanon, so then Tosfos writes on daf chod beis amudam. We have no right in the Gemara. Tosfos writes, if it would have been only a karmelist, if it would have been just an issue the rabbanon that's involved, then you wouldn't be worried about also rabban matan mechitz. So traditionally, it was always assumed that Taz writes in his commentary on Hilchas Erev, it was always assumed that if you don't have shishim ribo, the location, the area is only a karmelist, and the whole prohibition to carry is only midrabbanan. So therefore, you can make an erev. That's what the whole kula was based on. So the Mishkan is Yankif, who was a student of Rav Chaim Volozhin in the early days of the Volozhin Yeshiva, wrote a whole tshuva. How can everybody rely on the lack of shishim ribo? There are so many rishonim who don't believe in shishim ribo, especially the Chachmei Svar. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan both quote this taina that the Mishkan is Yankif had. He wanted to passel up all the Eruvin because it's a sveka deraisa. So many Rishonim don't require shishim ribo. So the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, Bir Halacha comes to defend the practice that everybody makes an Eruv. So he says that some of the Rishonim hold that this din itself, Oser Rabbe Memavat Kamechitz, that this din itself is only a din midirabbanim. This din itself is only a din midirabbanim. So Min HaTorah, if you have it, Tzuras HaPesach, even though Asir Rabat Mechitzda, the whole issue is only mid the Rabbanon. So since it's just an issue of the Rabbanon, so you can already rely on those opinions who hold that the lack of Shishim Ribo knocks it down to the level of a Karmelist. If we're just dealing with a Karmelist, so then you don't have to worry about Asir Rabat Mechitzda. That's how the Bir Halacha suggests, to defend the practice that everybody, all communities in Europe used to rely on an Erev. There was a Tzuras HaPesach. It didn't prevent the flow of traffic at all. And the Mishkan is Yankev Tainus, it's a Sveka Deraisa. If it's a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, you can't rely on a Tzuras HaPesach because of Sarabim. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's not a Sveka Deraisa. Even if you have a Sarabim, a lot of Rishonim hold that that din itself is only the Rabbanon. So Minat Torah, you're allowed to carry just an issue of the Rabbanon. So since only a din the Rabbanon, you can rely on those who hold that the lack of Shishim Ribo knocks it down to a karmelist, and Mimele, if it's a karmelist, you don't have to worry at all about Asir Rabim Matan Mechitz. That's how he defended it. So basically, we mentioned last week when we were going through the Perigimel, the Klolam of Mechitzis, that if you have a break in the Mechitza, Mechitz doesn't have to cover every single inch. If you have a missing a little bit of Mechitza, is good. You say Ruba Kekuloi. If you have Oymed Merubal HaParetz, we require each bar of the rectangular shape area, each bar should be Oymed Merubal HaParetz. And if you're missing a little bit in the middle, that's okay. Ruba Kukula. But if the part that's missing is Yes and the Yeser Amos, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Yeser Amos is exactly 18 feet. So Yeser Amos means slightly more than 18 feet. That's the question, how much is a Tefach? Moshe holds that 3.6 inches is a Tefach. And six times a tefach is an amma, and your eser amas you multiply by 10. So just plain arithmetic, you multiply 3.6 times 6 times 10, it'll turn out to be 18 feet exactly, according to Rav Moshe. Others hold slightly more, others hold slightly less. So if you have a pirtzi yes and a yeser, so that's a din that it you don't say omer merubal apart. You have 1,000 amas to the right, 1,000 amas to the left. In the middle you have missing 11 amas, so you don't say omer merubal apart. You say that that's a pirtza. So where does that leave you? So we drew the diagrams last week. If you want to plant grapes over here and grain over there, so you can plant with this part where you have the mechitza here in the middle with it, where the 11 amas, where it's missing, you can't plant grapes up until the demarcation line. If it would have been only missing 10 amas or less, then you, even though it's namish, no fence at all over there, you would have said, Omer Ruba ala Paritz, is Ruba Kukulai. You would have been allowed to plant the grapes up until the line and the grain up until the line, even though there's namish, no wall at all. It's just Ruba Kukulai is good. But because it's a pirtza, yes and a yeser, so by the Kilayim, it poses a problem over there. And Hilchas Shabbos poses a problem on the whole Rishus HaYachid. And Hilchas Shabbos, if there's one break and if one part of the Mechitza is missing, if there was one Piritz in the whole Mechitza, so the whole Mechitza is no good. So we mentioned the Chazon Ish quoted in a Sefer that this is Machlek is between the Mishkanes Yankiv and the Beis Ephraim, whether the din of Piritz HaMiyaser is a din deraisa, a din derabbanon. So the Chazon Ish writes that it was mekubal, it was accepted that the whole din of Piritz HaMiyaser itself is only with the Rabbanon. And now they pointed out that we have more Rishonim than we had before. We have the Tosfei Harosh, we have the Rabbeinu Hananel. So it's a Machlekes and Rishonim. This issue was Machlekes and Rishonim. So the Chazon Ish writes, he's not so spoiled. He says, it was accepted that the whole din of Pirtzei Yasem Yasser is only with the Rabbanon. So this is how the Chazon Ish writes. I don't know if we mentioned, this idea appears before the Chazon Ish was born. The Achrenim have this idea. This is, we mentioned, this is Sefer Orchas Chaim, on Shulchan Orch HaRachaim, where they have a likut of all of the Achrenim, practically sif by sif, very valuable set of Svarim. It was reprinted around 30, 40 years ago, so it's available now. And this Sefer Orchas Chaim that was printed in the early 1800s has this idea from the Achrenim before the Chazon Ish was born, that in the big cities where you have the buildings line the streets on either side, so if you have a big city, not only is it not a Rishus Rabban Deraisa, it's probably going to be a Rishus HaYochid Ben HaTorah. If you visualize over here, let's say we are now on 185th Street, so the buildings line, this is north, this way is north, and that way is east, where we daven is east. So on the northern side, you have the front of Gluck, then you have the apartment buildings all the way to the end of the street, so it's a solid block. Then the next street, what's the next street? Audubon to St. Nick. So you have the buildings are straight. The buildings were put up in order to enclose the inside of the building. The construction workers didn't have a mind to enclose the street, but it's a mechitza ameres me'aleh. The ma'aseh, the front of the building encloses the street. So on either side across the street you have first hall, then you have the parking lot, has a fence in front. The fence is open a little bit, but the opening is less than Essa, so that's considered the Oymed Brubala parts you have. Then from Audubon, this is Audubon, to St. Nick, you have the front of the building is all the way straight. You have the big gap with it on Audubon, then you have a big gap on St. Nick. But if you measure it, the Pashtus is that you have Oymed Brubala parts. From the beginning of the block to the end of the block, the buildings are solid. Makif the streets. You have two mechitzas on either side. Then you go further, 185th, until St. Nick. Then you go from St. Nick to the next block, Every block you have Oymed Brubala parts. Then when you go all the way down till Broadway, you're going to reach a point that on Broadway there are storefronts. The front of the buildings in front of you. So that's the third mechitza. So you have Gimel Mechitza, Semen HaTorah, we assume it's a Rishus HaYochid. Or even if it's not a Rishus HaTorah, you're allowed to carry. If you have Gimel Mechitzas, you're allowed to carry. So the whole, either because it's a Carmelist or because it's a Rishus HaYochid, you're allowed to carry. That's what the Chazon Ish says. In most big cities, in all the big cities, he writes, the buildings, of every inch of space is valuable, so they're not going to have. In a little village, you have a house over here, you have a house far away, another house far away, so you have big gaps, so you're going to have parts merubah loymin. But in the big cities, every inch of space counts. So you're going to have the buildings are lining the streets, so you have mechitzas migimel ruchas. The Chazon Ish goes further. I don't remember if we discussed it. The Chazon Ish has like this. Let's say you have Broadway? I don't know. Broadway is where everything ends. Okay. Here's the storefront. Okay, let's say this is Broadway. So you have the third mechitza. And then you have the mechitzas go all the way like this. Fine. Let's say this is 185th. This way. So the Chazon Ish knows before him say that here you have Gimel Mechitzas, 1, 2, 3, Oymed Merubala Parets, and I over here, it's a Pirtzei Yesem Yeser, each one, so he says Pirtzei Yesem Yeser, we assume it's only with the Rabbanon, it's only a problem with the Rabbanon, but on the level of the Raisa, this area has Gimel Mechitzas, which either accomplishes that it's a Rishus HaYachid or a Carmelis. So the Melech, if you make an Erev, You don't have to worry about Osir Rabbi Matam Mechitza because the whole area is Mutam and Torah to carry. So fine, that the Chazanish said that was said before. Then the Chazanish goes a giant step after that. So the Chazanish says that Min HaTorah, since it's Omer Ruvul HaParet, so you draw imaginary lines connecting these buildings, because it, since it's Omer Ruvul HaParet, so it's Kisosim Dami. And over here also, crossing over Broadway. And then he says, this accomplishes that this side street, that makes Broadway into Rishos HaYochid also, because Broadway is lined on either side, on the eastern side, on the western side with buildings. But then since you had the right to draw this imaginary line over here, that makes it into Gimel Mechitzes. And over here also, what's, you already forgot all the names of the streets, so let's say this is Audubon, and this is St. Nick, and whatever. So since you have the right to draw these imaginary lines to accomplish that the inside of 185th Street should become Rishus HaYachid. So once this is considered a mechitza for the inside, so this area also becomes a Rishus HaYachid. This area also becomes. Once this becomes a Rishus HaYachid, so then you have gaps over here. So you draw all of these imaginary lines over here, because Zayim and Rumbal HaParetz is Kusot, and then it makes the next street, makes 184th Street into Rishus HaYachid, because all the streets are interlocking, keeps on making everything into Rishus HaYachid. So that, there's room to argue with the Chazanish. This is the Chmamish. This is such a strong argument that the inside of 185th Street should be Rishus HaYachid. That's the Pashtus is, like the earlier Achronim said, that the Pashtus is like that. Mechitza Medes Me'ileho is a good Mechitza. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, yeah, Mechitza Medes Me'ileho is good, but you can't declare the street as a Rishus HaYachid. Why not? It's very difficult. The Pashtus is, Rav Moshe's argument is against Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that the walls that were put up to enclose the inside of the houses serve as Mechitzas for the street. The Ferish and Gemara is like that. I don't know how Rav Moshe is going to answer it. But then the Chazanish's giant step, he said, and therefore that can make Broadway into Rishus HaYachid, that makes all the side streets also, because he draw these imaginary lines. So that's already a bigger Chiddush. That there's room to dings up with. Because from the perspective of the other streets, it's Legamri open. It's Legamri, it's Nifrit B'milor. So just because you draw these imaginary lines, that's a consideration for the inside of 185th Street. But to say that this imaginary line says it's a mechitza for Audubon and for St. Nick and for Broadway also, that is room to dinzah. So well, last week we left off by the topic of siluk mechitzas in Perik, in these Marmakams, it's Perik Gimel, section Zayin. Siluk mechitzas is a tricky din. I'll give you some examples and you'll understand what it is. Simply that we discussed this. Let's say a person has a Rishus HaYachid that has three walls. I mean, I'll tell you about a carry, but the Rabban, you need a ticket on the Ruch Avi. So let's say he would have a wall over here. And this wall would be 1,000 amas wide. And then you're only missing, let's say, 9 amas here, 9 amas here, parts. So Omid Murubal HaParetz says, I would consider it Kisosim, so the whole thing would be considered a Rishus HaYachid. So what happens if, let's say, over here is the street, and the guy over here has a house. It's not just the top bar of Mechitza, he has a whole Rishus HaYachid that's Muk of Mechitzas. So you can no longer say, so this wall over here is contiguous to the area here. So the area here, where the check it has four mechitza. 1, 2, 3, and this is 1,000 amas, this is the fourth mechitza. And here it's only a pirtz of 9 amas, pirtz of 9 amas. So it's Omer Ruvul HaParetz, and neither pirtz is yes and yes, so there's no problem. But, so from here on, here's the Rishus HaYachid. The backyard behind the house, here's the fellow's house. The backyard behind the house, the Rishus. What about this area here on either side, the driveways? Going into the backyard is also. So how can you make the driveways into Rishus HaYachid? So if you would have only had the line over here, the front of the house, and you wouldn't have the walls on the side, so fine, so you have 1,000 amas, Omer Ruvul HaParetz, the pirtz of nine. So it's Omer Ruvul HaParetz, fine, but you don't have just the wall, you have a whole building here. So that's what the Gemara calls Siluk Mechitza. So this wall no longer serves as a mechitza for this driveway to the right or the driveway to the left. Since it's completely enclosed, it's a complete circuit over here, So the wall only serves as a mechitza for the inside. No longer serves as, because you have walls over here. So the back wall, the back wall of the house serves as a mechitza for the backyard. It's there, it's contiguous to the backyard. But the front wall, which borders on the street over here, here's the street. So the front wall only serves as a mechitza for the street, if that will help you, or mechitza for the inside of the house. But this is seal of mechitza. So even though over here you only have nine amas missing, and nine amas missing, but it's nifritz bin miluo. It's like you have three mechitzas, and you have nine amas missing over here. The gap between here and here is nine amas. You're going to say, since it's pachas mi'aser, it's okay. No, there is no such thing. Pirtza pachas mi'aser is no good. Nifritz bin miluo, there's mamish nothing there. Pirtza pachas mi'aser means if you have oimed meruba ala parutz, if you have standing wood. If you have walls that are standing, if the pirtza is pachas mi'aser, then it's okay. But here it's nifritz bin miluo. See here, as far as the driveway on the right, driveway on the left, it's nifritz bin miluo. So that's a problem. Another example would be, I remember once they asked me to look at a certain eruv. So they had, in the whole community, so the tzuros on Pesach and fences and everything goes like this. And then there's a building over here. I think there was a bank. So, here's the area enclosed, and the area continued till here. So they had a tzuris ha-pesach here, konim, fine. So, how did they get from here? Here they have a tzuris ha-pesach, fine. How did they get from here to here? So they said, well, you go here, you have a wall, you go here, and then you continue this. I said, you can't go here. This wall only is contiguous to this area in the bank. It's not contiguous to the Rishus HaYochid here. You have to go from this side of the wall. This side of the bank, this side of the building is contiguous. Here's your Rishus HaYochid here. So this side is contiguous. Even though they built the walls of the bank to enclose the bank, but it's still it's contiguous with the Rishus HaYochid, with the street, so it encloses the street also. So you have to go this way and go here. So 95% of the time, it's going to lead you to the same thing anyway. Whether you go this way and here, you've got to reach this point, or you've got to go the back over here, you've got to reach there anyway. But 5% of the time, we will not reach the same place, because sometimes the bank is on stilts. So the back walls, let's say, are touching the ground. And the front walls over here are not touching the ground. So the walls that don't touch the ground is the mechitza tluya. That's not acceptable unless the wall is within 3 tefachim to the ground level. But a mechitza tluya is not acceptable for the inside of the bank. Let's say you have a bungalow that's on stilts. So the inside of the bungalow is a rishus hayachid. The walls go down to the floor. So the bungalow has a floor. The walls are suspended as far as, let's say you have a bungalow colony. I used to go to a bungalow colony with Rabbi Juanes and Rabbi Goldstein, all the YU rabbis and Rabbi Chalam. So all the bungalows were in a circle. It used to be known as paradise cottages. So all the bungalows were in a circle, but the bungalows, the front of the bungalows were on stilts. So the mechitzas were good to make the inside of the bungalow, but it didn't help to make the inside area into Rishu Sayach because the walls were suspended. So you couldn't just put a tzuris ha-pesach between bungalow 1 and bungalow 2 and between bungalow 2 and bungalow 3 and assume that the front wall of the bungalow serves as a mechitza for the area enclosed. No, the front wall didn't touch the ground, so it's no good. So once in a long while, 5% of the time maybe, it'll happen afkamina here. You have to, this is a silik mechitza. This area is mesulach mikam. This part, these walls over here, are not contiguous, they're not makif this area. These walls in the front are makif the area. Yeah, but if the walls in the front don't reach the ground, then you don't have any mechitzas. So once in a while, that'll pose a problem. I remember this was in, I think this was in Long Beach, if I'm not mistaken. So the Erev there was made by Reb Lezer Kahanov, who was a big Talmid Chacham from Torah Vedas, a Rebbe in Torah Vedas. He's been the rabbi in Young Israel there. So I said, Rabbi Kahanov made the Erev like this. So they thought for a half minute. They said, no, the bank wasn't there. When he made the Erev, there was no bank there. The bank came later. So I said, when he made the Erev, it was good. Once you put the bank there, that poses a problem. It's an easy solution. Just go behind it or in front of it. There's always a solution, but it's going to be a problem. This topic will come up, will repeat itself again about Silut Mechitz. Okay. It's important to keep in mind. Maybe I'll discuss it now. Okay. Silut Mechitz, when you make an Erev, the Nesivis, who wrote on Yeridei, he wrote the Chavad Das, and he wrote the Chavad but the Nesivis, so he has on Hilchus Pesach, he wrote the Mekor Chaim on Hilchus Pesach. So he has a lot of Pilfulim there. And in the back of the Sefer, he has a page and a half, how to make an Erev in one easy lesson. It's called Tikkun Erev. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it so much, when in the middle of Hilchus Erev, you would think it's a whole Sefer. It's only a page and a half. So that's it's only three quarters of a page on one side and a third of a page on the other side. It's very short. And every line has another psak, another din, he doesn't give any marmakim. So one of the dinim that he writes is that, let's say, have a lawn. Someone has a front lawn that has a fence around it. Fence is 10 tefachim tall. The front lawn is a b'shus ayachid. And then the chveis is a tree in the middle of the lawn. And they want to make an air around the whole city. And part of the air around the whole city is they want to be live. They want to use that tree. And they want to put a kana next to the tree to have a tzuras ha-pesach to use the tree. So he says you can't put the kana toch rishus ha-yachid because the rishus ha-yachid has siluk mechitzis. It's completely enclosed, complete circuit of mechitzis. So it's mesulak mikan. It's considered as if that part is ripped out over here. Since you only need an area for this area, so you have to make tzuras ha-pesach around there around. So you have to somehow avoid. You can't put the kana toch rishus ha-yachid. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that from the Tikkun Erev. So then there's a question, if that's the logic, it's Mesulak Mikan, Siluk Mechitza, it gives two reasons. The Nesivis writes two reasons. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva where he pilpels whether the two, Abdineza has tshuva, they discuss whether the two reasons make sense. Maybe we'll talk about it later. So the Pashta says that the reason why it's no good is Siluk Mechitza. So not only if you have the Kone Toch Rishusiyach, what if you have the Kone over here and the other Kone over here and just the wire goes over Rishusiyach? The wire goes over someone's front lawn, and the front lawn is completely mukav mechitzis tent up and tall. So the Pashta says that should also pose a problem. There was one of the major poskim in Galicia. He was a great nephew of the Minchas Chinuch. His name was Babad. Also, he lived after the First World War. He wrote Chuvas Chabatzelus Hashorim. Very strong Chuvas. Very, very strong Chuvas. So I think he's the one who writes that his father was always machmer. His father was the Rav in Tarnopol. And he said his father was always known in Machmer for everything, but he was always mekel on this, that if the wire goes over a Rishus HaYachid, that doesn't pose a problem. But the Pashtus is that if the reason why the Tikkun Erev and why the Nesida said you can't put the Kohen Toch Rishus HaYachid is because of Siluk Mechitza, once the Mokum is completely mukav with Mechitza, so it's as if the whole area is Mesulak Mekan. We don't have to worry about that spot. We only have to worry about the rest of the area where there is no Erev. So you can neither have the Kone Toch Rishus HaYachid, and nor can you have the wire go over that area that's completely mukav. I don't remember how the topic came up for discussion. I remember pretty clearly, we used to have Reb Mendel Zaks, used to be the son-in-law of the Chavetz Chaim, used to be the Bochen here in the yeshiva. So I remember him mentioning, again, I remember how the topic came up, that the meaning in Europe used to be lehokel on this, that if the wire goes over Rishus HaYachid, that you don't have to be machmir. That's like the Chavatzelos HaShonreis. And I thought that at that time I didn't know the whole topic at all. I didn't understand what the whole topic was. I'm surprised that I remember even the conversation. But I thought the Pashtus is that it should be no good. Yeah.
Why can't they just go around the Rishus HaYachid? Why use the kula? Why not just go?
Yeah, I think you have to go around.
Okay.
Yeah, every problem has a solution. Yeah, but I think it is a problem. I think it is considered a problem. Okay, that's Siluk Mechitza is an important topic. Then there's a topic, Mechitza Sheini Koris. Mechitza Sheini Koris goes like this. Reuben and Shimon have two homes that are adjacent, attached homes. It's Reuben's home and Shimon's home. And they have a roof. They share a roof together, and they didn't make an Erev Chatzeres together. So Reuben is not allowed to carry into Shimon's house. Shimon is not allowed to carry from one house to the other. You can carry from one Rishus HaYachid to the other. But Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that you can't carry from base of Sharuvah to base of Shel Shimon unless you have an area chatzir. So what about on the roofs? And not only can Reuven not carry to the other half of the roof, which belongs to Shimon, that Shimon uses, he can't even carry on his own half of the roof, because that's called Nifrat Slamakam Asala. True, the roof is a Rishus HaYachid. The roof has the status of a Rishus HaYachid, but this half of the roof, Reuven has the right to use, and Shimon has the right to use the other half. And Reuven is not allowed to carry from his half to the other half, and there's no mechitza separating in between, so he can't even carry on his side of the roof either. So Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, because the first half in Perek called Gagos, but Reuven's house and Shimon's house, they have one wall that separates between Reuven's house and Shimon's house. So don't we have a din mechitza zoyla ad l'rakia? So why do you say that there's no, on the roof, everything is smooth, there's nothing separating in between? Why don't you say that the mechitza, the wall that separates between Reuven's house and Shimon's house, is zoyla ad l'rakia? So Gemara has a machlekes, but it's mechitza shein and ikeres. Yeah, here's the top of the roof, and here's Reuven's half of the roof, and this is Shimon's half of the roof. On top of the roof, it's mamas, you don't see anything, but below the roof, there's a wall. Shimon's family lives here, Reuven's family lives over there. So the Gemara has a machlokes. Maybe you can say gudasik mechitza, even on mechitza sheni koris, even though there's a new ground level over here on top. So Tosus, the Chazon Ish points out, Tosus says hanadav, the only time there was an opinion in the Gemara to be mekel by mechitza sheni koris, because the whole topic that you're dealing with is only an issue the rabbanon of nifretz l'makom asala. You don't allow me to carry on my side of the roof, because there's nothing separating my side of the roof and the other side, so I may forget and carry to the other side. Not even allowed to carry on my side. So the whole topic on Nifretz, L'makam HaAsala, that's what we said, let's say Manhattan was built up in such a way that the edge of Manhattan, it has mechitzas. Theoretically. Well, it's not exactly so, but theoretically, that's the way it was built up. So the... But you have tunnels that go into Manhattan. Then you have the George Washington Bridge. You have bridges and tunnels that connect, and you can walk over the bridge. You can walk in the middle of the Rishus HaYachid of Manhattan, and you can walk over the bridge, walk into the New Jersey without crossing any mechitza. So even if the Erev, even if there would be a good Erev in Manhattan, you wouldn't be allowed to carry, because in difference to Mokka Masala, in New Jersey there's no Erev. So you can't carry even in New York, because you can walk across the bridge. So you have to have some kind of a hapsoka. You have to have a psatzuris ha-pesach to separate. So the Chazon Ish points out the little Tosfos Hanadaf in the beginning of Perek Gag, is the only time there was an opinion that you say good asik mechitza, the mechitza, the wall separating between Reuven's home and Shimon's home, is visualized as if Ayla Adler Akia, even though the roof is a new ground level. That's only to solve an issue the Rabbanon, a chumra the Rabbanon of Nifretz L'makom Asala, but to create taka real b'shus Hayochid Deraisa. No one would say good asik mechitza if it's mechitza shein and ikaris, if it's a new ground level. That's why Rav Moshe has a very paralytic tshuva. Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about the possibility of the Erev Manhattan's long tshuva in Chelek Aleph Orechaim. So he says all Manhattan was built up, the edge of the island was built up such a way you have mechitzas on all the four sides. The problem is you have pirtzis, yes and yes, on all four sides. The pirtzis all over the place. So Rav Moshe doesn't talk about that. But so Rav Moshe says, not only are these mechitzas where they built up Manhattan with the concrete and everything, not only did they accomplish to make the ground level of Manhattan into Rishus HaYachid, you have a highway on top, then you have a highway on top of a highway. In Europe, they never had such a thing. But these are new things that we have now. I mean, in Europe, years ago, they never had, they have no tshuvas in any sort. And no one wrote tshuvas in recent years. No one wrote any tshuvas about this. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, the mechitzas on the ground level are good for the upper level also. Even though, I think this we mentioned, even though Rashi writes on the Gemara in Erevin, that if you have a subway below Manhattan, so you don't, and the tunnels of the subway have the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, their walls, and it's a dalad al dalad tvachim, and it's gov ayud. So you don't say mechitza sarod la derekiyah, so you're allowed to carry in the middle of Manhattan if you're directly above the subway line. It says, no, Rashi says beferish, based on the Gemara, that you don't say good asik mechitza, mechitza is below the ground level, and not od la derekiyah, above the ground level. So Ramoshi says, but if the mechitzas are above the ground level, then they're good to the next ground level. Chazanish says it's against the Nafani Gemara with the Tosis. Tosis says on the Gemara, in the first daf in Kol Gad, is the only time you say, the only time there was an opinion to be makel that Mechitza Shein and Ikoris, the wall separating between Reuven Som and Shimon Som, is Ola the Rekia above the roof, even though the roof is a new ground level, is only to solve the issue, the Rabbanon, of Nifritz Lemokam Asala, but to really make it into Rishu Sayachid, that for sure not. Everyone holds that you don't say Mechitza, you don't say Gurasik Mechitza on a new ground level. So the Avnei Nezer has an interesting lashon. He writes, maybe that's also midin silik mechitza. Maybe the melitza we should use is silik mechitza. The mechitzas only help for that ground level. They don't help in the upper ground level. So like over here, mechitzas only work for that area. Mechitzas don't work for the area adjacent to it. It's also a concept of silik mechitza. There is a big machlokes harishonim, how to read a Gemara in Shabbos, regarding mechitza shein and ikeres. By a tail. Let's say you have a concrete mound here in Fort Trine Park. They probably have all over the place. You have George Washington on top of a horse, and then you have a big slab of concrete this size. It's 10 tefachim tall. It's dal tefachim on top. So a tail b'shus harabim is dino ki b'shus hayochid. So, but where are the mechitzas? And the mechitzas are the edge of the concrete. The edge of the concrete over here. Here you're missing where I'm sitting. There's no mechitz on the other side. There's also no mechitz. But if you would have mechitzas on all four sides, and the table is not 10 tefachim tall. 10 tefachim is over here. But if the table would be 10 tefachim tall, and there would be mechitzas on all four sides, the top of the table would be Rishus HaYachid. Would you say on this top of the table is also Oila Adler Rakia? Or do you say, no, maybe that's also called mechitzas Shein and Ikeres. The mechitzas maybe only makes the surface into Rishus HaYachid. But maybe in order to make mechitzas to be Oila Adler Rakia, like the Loshana Gemara, Gurasik mechitzta Oila Adler Rakia, maybe that's only if Taki have a building. But if you just have a tail knot, so that's a big machlokes. That's a big machlokes how to read a Gemara. Machlokes Rashi and the Ramban, whether you say the top of a tail should be considered the mechitzas shein ikoreis. So it's only Rishus HaYachid mamish on the surface, and an inch above will not be dina ki Rishus HaYachid. Sometimes it comes up halacha l'maaseh. I remember we were once working on an erev in one community, and if one will be machmir that even the wire can't go over a Rishus HaYachid, so let's say the wire goes over a building. Let's say you have, remember there happened to be the wire of the erev was very high. They were using electric wires and electric poles. And then it went over an auto wrecking shop. It went over the whole building. And the top of the building had a roof. The mechitzas, but there was a ceiling. There was a ceiling. So do you say, since the top of the building has a roof, so it's a mechitzah shein and ikeres, so you don't say gurasik mechitzta, so your wire is not cutting into Rishus HaYachid. You don't say ceiling mechitzah. And you say, no, the mechitzas of the building are oila adler akia. And then if it's oila adler akia, so your wire is cutting into Rishus HaYachid, and Rishus HaYachid is impenetrable. Silik mechitza means that the Rishus HaYachid can't break into Rishus HaYachid. So that kedai to be machmana. That's a machlokes harishonim. It's also a big discussion. There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, the discussion in Tosis on the first daf in Kol Gagos. If you have a building that goes up straight, so the sides of the building, let's say here's the building, so all the four sides are mechitzas. So on top is like a tail. And even though the walls of the building don't protrude higher, that'll be the machlekes, Rashi and the Ramban, where they say mechitzas are all other rakia by a tail. What if you'll have a protruding roof over here? So there, even the Rishonim will hold that this is a mechitza hanikeres. You do say gurasik mechitza. But if you have a protruding roof, so then Tosfos says that's for sure mechitzah shein ikeres. This is a new ground level. So then there's a big discussion, how much does the roof have to protrude? A lot of the buildings have protruding roofs. So how far does the roof have to protrude that it should pose a problem? So some say 4 tefachim, because less than 4 tefachim is not called the shir makom. has to protrude 4 tvachim. Others say, no, the shear should be 3 tvachim. If it's less than 3 tvachim, it should be lavud. So if it doesn't protrude, if it's more than 3 tvachim, then it poses a problem. Chazon Ish quotes all of this from the Magen Avraham and from the Korban Nisanal, commentary on the Rosh. He's not so convinced that you even need 3 tvachim. He says, even if it just protrudes a little bit, it could be that's already cold. Why should you apply the shurim of lavud or dalat tvachim over here? So that's a big pilpul. When you have a protruding roof, what's the status of the protrusion? What's the status of the reft of the roof? And Tosfos says only if it protrudes 4 tvachim. Why did Tosfos say 4 tvachim? What's going on? There's a whole discussion about that. Okay. That's the topic of mechitza shein and ikeres. How far do you go with this cloud? The Gemara said mechitza shein and ikeres, you don't apply the rule of gudasik mechitza. Pi tikra yored v'soisim is a din in the Gemara that that you don't really actually require 4 walls that are standing. If you have a tikra, if you have a ceiling, so the edge of the ceiling, in order to be considered a tikra, Tosfos says, it has to be a tikra al gabi mokam. So it has to be al gabi mokam dal al dal. If you have if the tikra is less than dal al dal, it's not called a tikra because it's not a roof over a mokam. So the tikra has to be a minimum of a dal al tva. So you have the pi ha tikra, the edge of the tikra is considered as if it were a mechitza. So how far does this go? So the Gemara says, it goes only so far, not so far. So how so far, not so far? So Rashi learns in the Gemara, Machlekes is Rashi and Tosfos with diagrams in the Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns, if you have, let's say, you have a construction, we have a roof that's suspended in midair, has things holding it up, we have a roof suspended. So you're not going to say all 4 times, Pitika Yerubisoysen, so that the location below the Tikra should be considered a Rishu Sayachin. But if you have one wall, and then you want to say Pitikra 3 times, you have one wall with a roof. The roof is held up by the wall. So then you say pitikra 3 times. You have one wall and 3 pitikras, so the area below beneath the tikra is considered a mishusayach. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi's diagrams, and they say it's of the famous Gemara in Sukkah. This is a Gemara in Erevin, Tzadi Gimel or so. So Tosfos says Rashi is wrong. Rashi even learns the Gemara in Sukkah differently, but in Shulchan Aruch we accept Tosfos' pshat. So Tosfos says you got to have 2 walls like L-shaped. Then if you have a tikra, so the p tikra, the edge of the tikra, serves as the 3rd and the 4th wall. But if you have only, you have 2 walls that are parallel, you want to say p tikra and the 2 parallel walls that are missing, that's not acceptable. That's a quote from the Gemara in Sukkah. So that's what the Ramah quotes, that if you have 2 walls that are L-shaped, adjacent to each other, and then you have a tikra on top of, that goes over dalet tvachim al dalet tvachim, then you say p tikra, you're v'zaysim, as the 3rd and the 4th walls. So the Ramah talks, the guy goes to shul and he leaves the key over there under the tikra, so that's a rishus hayachid, and he can carry it into the house. The house is a rishus hayachid. But if you have 2 walls that are parallel, you can't say pitikra on the 2 parallel walls because it's mefulish, it's missing, and then it'll be a karmelis, and you can't leave it. If you leave the key there, you can't carry the key from there in. Mishnah Berurah is always noita lahachmer on everything. Midas Chasidus always quotes all the shitas lechumra. So the Mishnah Bir Alocha writes on this Ramah. The Ramah says, "Beferish, you have 2 walls like this, L-shaped. So you say Pitikra and the 3rd and 4th wall." So the Mishnah Berurah suggests maybe what the Ramah meant to say was that the maximum you can be makel is like that, but the Ramah never really recommended that. Maybe he really means to say it's a wild pshat. Doesn't say a word in the Shulchan Aruch. Says maybe you should really be. The Mishnah Berurah wants to be mach. Maybe you should really be machma like the Ramah and the Rif that Pitikra is only good if you have 3 walls. Minatari you're allowed to carry. Just need a tikkan and the ruch revius. So the whole need for the tikkan and the ruch revius is only with the rabbanon. So if he said pitikra yerubisoysim, that satisfies the din the rabbanon. But pitikra yerubisoysim never helps to construct the rishus hayachid, only to serve as a ruch revius. All right. So there is the Rif and the Rambam hold like that. If someone wants to be machmel, but to say that that's pshat in the Ramah is very doichik. Mishnah Berurah is recommending you should be machmel. But the Ramah says, lemaisa, if you have 2 walls like this, eight pitikra on the 3rd and the 4th walls. Tosfos has kashas against a lot of Rashi, so Tosfos suggests in one place in Erevin, maybe Rashi will answer all the kashas by explaining that you only say pitikra if the tikra is a tefach thick. The roof has to be a minimum thickness of a tefah. That has a whole explanation to it. But the pashtus is that I know Rabbi Posen from Breuer has told me he was machma like that. But that opinion is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch at all. That's a pekiyas. You got to know the taste of Sanhedrin. It's not mentioned on the page at all. Nobody, even the Mishnah Brewer, who always digs out chumers, didn't dig up this one. So the Pashta says that we really don't hold like that, Rashi. Yeah. We are machma like another Rashi, even though Tosis rejects it. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaba quotes this. There's a Gemara Chof Dalet. If the roof is ki or zilo, you don't say pi tikwa, it's ki or zilo. It's only called pi hatikra if the tikra is flat. Let's say you have a house where the tikra goes like this. It's a slanty, diagonal tikra. So then that's not called pi hatikra, and you don't say pi tikra yerisos. So the Mishnah Brewer says that a lot of times they build a house, here's the floor, they build a house like this, so you can't say pi tikra, but then they put a flat tikra also, in addition to the slanty tikra. This is also, okay? So dami hacha, forget about the slanty one. You can say pi tikra over here, then you say pi tikra over here. Rabbi Shapanchan has a little tshuva where he talks about when they were discussing the possibility of making an Erev in parts of New York. So some of the Rabbanim said, well, wherever you have the elevated, where you ever have the subway, is not sub, it's above the street. So even though the floor of the subway, of the elevated, is not solid, but it's lovered to each other, so that's a Beferish Gemara, that you would say Pi Tikra even if the Tikra is not solid. As long as everything is lovered to lovered to lovered to lovered, it's also, when you get to the end, you say Pi Tikra. So maybe we should say Pi Tikra Yerbisosim, that the edge of the platform of the elevated should count as a Pi Tikra to enclose part of the Rishus HaYachid to make an Erev. So Moshe says that's not acceptable because he quotes a Gemara in Sukkah. So the Gemara says that you only say Pi Tikra Yerbisosim if it was made for that area. So he says, why did they make the elevated? Why did they make the platform to hold up the trains? They didn't make the elevated. See, usually when you have a house, so why did they put up the roof? To protect the people, that it shouldn't rain, it shouldn't snow on me, and the sun shouldn't beat down. So the roof was put up, the Shem Tikra. But over here, the floor of the elevator was put up that the train should be able to be supported, not to protect the people below. So Moshe says the elevator doesn't count as a Bitik. The Pashta says that it's a very difficult tshuva. Pashup Shat in the Gemara in Sukkah is not like that. Pashup Shat in the Gemara means a totally different thing. Rabbi Reichman put out a sefer on Sukkah for Rabbi Soloveitchik Shun. He has something on that Gemara. I'm not sure what he says, but I'm pretty sure Rabbi Soloveitchik did not agree with Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. I think Rabbi Soloveitchik probably said what I'm going to say now. Pashup Shat. It's only a Pitikra Yerbisosim if it's serving as a Tikra for this area. So let's say like this. I have an Erev in a flat bush, let's say. It goes like this. Then you have the elevated. Where is it? Here's the elevated, and you have a pitikra. So you have the near end, and you have the far side. So you can say, I have a tzuras hapesa, fences, buildings, everything, up until the elevated, and then I'm going to use this, the near side of the elevated, the pitikra, to serve as the mechitza for this area. It's a tikra for below it. It's not a tikra for over here. So the Gemara sounds like it's saying you can use the far side. If you use the P tikra over here, if the Erev on the ground level doesn't only go to this side, it goes across the street, and the Erev over here goes till across the street over here. And then you pick up with the P tikra over here, the far side. So since it's a P tikra for the area below it, on the ground level below, so it serves as a mechitza for below, so it serves as a mechitza for the whole area, for the whole thing over here. So you can't use the near end, you have to use the far end. Very often when you make an Erev, so you get to a point where there's a tunnel. So usually, always at the end of the tunnel, there's going to be a Pi Tikra. So the Pashta says that you don't have to have a Mechitza over there. You have Pi Tikra, Yerbisos. But Rav Moshe has this Chumra, that when they have this bridge and the tunnel below it, it wasn't built. It was built in order to hold the cars on top. It wasn't put up in order to protect the people standing below the bridge. So according to Rav Moshe, you can't say Pi Tikra. So l'chatchila, we're machmir for Rav Moshe's Chumra. But the Pashta says that it's a very shvera Chumra. Rav Moshe's tshuvas on Erev, Rav Moshe's tshuvas on the rest of Shulchan Aruch, a very classical style, very traditional style, except that he was a bigger genius than most people, so he has always ingenious tshuvas. But his tshuvas on Erevin are totally, don't conform at all to the way everybody else learns Erevin. Chazon Ish quotes often a Tosfos and a lot of times against, I mean, they don't write about each other's svarim, but the Chazon Ish a lot of times has Stalvad Raya's against things that Rav Moshe says.
The tikra is elevated.
He's just using pi tikra for the broker of ears.
Right.
It's so even the chumra of the bir alacha. Bir alacha recommends you only use it for the broker of ears.
I mean, so even though underneath the tikra itself, you don't have two machitzas.
No, you have to continue here.
Right.
You have to continue this machitza to the far end here. You have to continue to the far end. If the machitza is here, just end over here. Then you're going to have a gap between the pi tikra over here.
Right.
And the rest of the mechitza. So the mechitza on the ground level has to go all the way to the far end, to the far end. And then you can say pi tikra on the far end of the elevator. There is a Gemara in Sukkah where the Gemara has a person has a Sukkah, but it's only 5 tefachim tall. So who can crawl in? Let's say 9 tefachim tall. Who can crawl into a 9? It's not kosher, even if you're a midget. The farmers have to be 10 tefachim tall. So let's say it has a gigantic sukkah so big, the size of this room, but it's only 9 tefachim tall, so it's not kosher. So the Gemara says if he digs in the middle of the sukkah, he digs another 9 tefachim, so then you have 18 tefachim, 9 above the ground, and then 9 below the ground, and the spot that he dug is 7 by 7 tefachim. A sukkah has to have a minimum floor and ceiling of zayin al zayin tefachim. So you have zayin al zayin, you have gova yud, so then it's okay. So the Gemara says, yeah, this is only provided the 9 tefachim over here with the 9, you don't need 9, all you need is 1. Provided the 9 over here above the ground and the 1 below the ground level are within love to each other. But if there's a wide gap, more than 3 tefachim away, then you don't have a doifan. A doifan has to have 10 tefachim solid, going straight in the same location, or within lover to each other. If it's more than 3 tefachim away, it's no good. So that's a Gemara in Sukkah in the first parak. Then the Gemara in Shabbos has the same thing about a house. You have a house, inside of the house is not 10 tefachim tall. So the Gemara says, in order to be a Rishu Sayechid, you don't need Zayin al Zayin, you just need Dala al Dala tefachim. You don't need dala dala ram, it's just need dala dala tefachim. So the Gemara says, if you dug 1 tefach below the ground level and you have 9 tefachim above the ground level, it's good. The Gemara didn't say that the ditch that you dug has to be within 3 tefachim to the wall. So Tosfos says, how come there's a discrepancy? So there's a Tosfos in Shabbos and a Tosfos in Sukkah where they both talk about the same topic. And one of the two Tosfos says, once you know the Gemara in Sukkah, it has to be within 3 tefachim. So the same thing in Masechet Shabbos, has to be within 3 tefachim. The other Tosfos distinguishes. It says, not true. In Sukkah, how come in Sukkah we call it Tfanis and in Shabbos we call it Nechitzis? That's Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. How come we call it a different word? So he said, apparently it's not the same. By Sukkah you need a Cheftz of a Doifen. So it has to be one Doifen. And if you have 9 tefachim above the ground and 1 tefach below the ground, if they're not within lower to each other, so then you don't have a Doifen. But by Shabbos, there is no din that you need a cheftz of a mechitza. You just need a mokam mukaf. A mokam is not two-dimensional, dalar al-dalar tvachim. A mokam is three-dimensional, dalar al-dalar degova yud. So if you have a mokam, namely, dalar al-dalar tvachim degova yud, in the middle, I dug the ditch in the middle, 1 tefach below the ground. And then this mokam, which is three-dimensional, dalar al-dalar degova yud, every direction where you want to go out, you'll bump into a wall. True, the wall will not be a cheftz of a mechitza because 9 tefachim is above the ground level, that's 5 amas away. And over here, 1 tefach below the ground is far away. It's not within lovet at all. They're far from each other. So Tosfos has one opinion that doesn't matter. there's a fundamental difference between Shabbos and Sukkah. Sukkah you need a cheftza b'doifens, has to be within lavud, and Shabbos doesn't need a cheftza b'mechitza. You can have a mechitza that consists of two parts, five tvachim over there, five tvachim over here, because the makam has to be a makam mukav. So Rav Soloveitchik, to make it, Rav Soloveitchik used to give very gishmak hashem, so to make it more gishmak, so he said over, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has a comment on a gemara. There's a gemara in the end of Erev and Ayin Ches, I think, where the gemara says, if you have a lechi that's made from shel asherah, asherah is a avodah zarah that you have to burn. So you should really say, kitoise mech deshiur. If you have a lulav shel asherah, lulav has to have a minimum height of 4 tvachim. So you have a lulav shel asherah, this aymed l'sreifa. So since it's aymed l'sreifa, I say, kitoise mech deshiur. It doesn't have the shiur of 4 tvachim. And it's not kosher for lulav. And nonetheless, the Gemara says that if you have a mavui with 3 mechitzas, you put a lechi in the front, so the lechi serves as a 4th mechitz. So lechi is a din of a mechitza. We said last week, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that lechi is a din deraisa. He said if you have 2 walls L-shaped, then you have a lechi, al-pidin, the whole rectangular area is considered like a mukha mechitza, 3 mechitzas. Lechi counts if it would be a whole wall. So, Gemara says that a lechi shel ashera is acceptable. So Rav Chaim has in his sefer, and the Rashbam has this. The Rashbam wrote just like we have the Balamor has asogas on the rif, and the Ravid has asogas on the rif. So the Rashbam wrote the Haoris on the rif. So they printed part of it, part of the manuscript. So the part of the manuscript they printed says the same as Rav Chaim on this Gemara. That a lechi shel asher doesn't pose a problem. The shear of 10 tvachim taller than the lechi is not a shear in the cheftz of the lechi. The lechi is a mechitza. Mechitza doesn't have a shear of 10 tvachim. The mokum has a shear of 10 tvachim. The mokum is dalal adal tvachim begova yud. It's 3-dimensional avir. So the mokum has to be mukaf mechitza. So what do I care if the mechitza is kitos emech d'shiura? The mechitza is mashu, but the mokum is mukaf mechitza. So there's not a problem. So Rav Soloveitchik said, based on this opinion and Tosis, that would be good for Shabbos purposes. If you have mechitzas that are shel ashera and they're kitos emech tushura, al pidin they don't have any shear, but the makam has the shear. The makam is not asabano, so the makam is dala dala begova yud, and makam is mukav mechitzas. But for the fanas of a sukkah, it could well be that if you're going to have the fanas shel ashera and say kitos emech tushura, so it won't be kosher, because in sukkah you need a cheftz of a doifen, and the cheftz of the doifen needs the shear 10 tefachim tor. That's what he suggested. Maybe that's why in Sukkah we call it the Fanas and in Shabbos we call it Mechitzah. It's totally different. For Shabbos purposes, it's just that it's Chayitz, it's Chotzitz, it separates between the inside and the outside. The Mokam is Dal Al Dal Begova Yud, it is Mukaf. It's Mukaf, and the Mechitzah separates it. And for Sukkah purposes, you need a Cheftz of a Doif. So the Mishnah Brurah, this is a fundamental Shaila 2 days in Tesis. Whether you can have 5 tvachim here, 5 tvachim here. So once in a while, you'll have that shaila exactly. You'll have it act like that. You'll have, you're making an eruv around an area. Then you have stones built up in the front, only 8-9 tvachim tall. Doesn't go all the way till below your waist. And then you have far away, more than 3 tvachim. Well, you have also another stones built up over there. You won't have the 10 tvachim in Makam Echad. So that's Machlokes and Tosis. The Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish go back and forth about this, what the din is. And sometimes you'll have, when we go on the Erev tour, so every so often we get stuck over here, the Erev around the Yeshiva. So part of the Erev is tricky. You have to see, do you have one continuous mechitza? Does the halacha require that to be considered a reshus, just need a makam mukav? So a makam we have. They have a big area that's more than dal al dal tvachim, that's for sure. Wherever you go, you're going to bump into a mechitza. That's the whole solution to the problem. So the makam is mukav. No, you need a cheptza of a mechitza, a cheptza of a doif, and that should be makam the makam. So let's say part of the mechitza is on one ground level, part of the mechitza is on a different ground level. So the pashta says they're not mitzdarfim to each other. Let's say you have a mountainous area. You want to put, you want to have a tzuras ha-pesach. You want to have kana and mikan on top of the mountain, and kana and mikan on the bottom of the mountain, and then going to have it pretty tall, and the wire will be approximately level. So the Pashto says that that's not acceptable because the two kanamikan have to relate to the same ground level. But would this be acceptable? I'm going to put kanamikan, kanamikan, I'll have a tzuras ha-pesach here. So that's, and I have an erev goes around. And then I want to continue the erev on top. And then I have a wall over here, let's say. I have a big wall over here. I have a tzuras ha-pesach on top. So is that acceptable? That they're two different ground levels. This is, the ground level is over here, and this is 10 tefachim tall, a sudden drop. It's not a gradual thing. It's a sudden drop at 10 tefachim al pidin, that's considered a different ground level. So the Pashto says there's no hemshech between one ground level and the other. Let's take the following motion. So you have North America and South America. What do you have? The Isthmus of Panama. What do you have? What canal is it? Panama Canal, no? So let's say North America ends here, South America ends here. Let's say I'm going to have three mechitzas here. I want to say that the two together are one Rishus HaYochid, because the gap in between, let's say, is less than Eser Amos. Let's say the argument is less than Eser Amos. Or on the level of the Raisa, that Pirtze Yasem Yasem is only the Rabbanon. Chazanish says Pirtze Yasem only the Rabbanon. As long as you have Emir Merub Ala Paritz. Let's say I have 1,000 Amos over here, and 1,000 Amos over here, and here I have 30 Amos missing. So in a Torah, it's what considered one big Rishus HaYochid. Does that make sense? Can you make a tziruf between a mechitza on one continent and the mechitza on another continent? It's a different ground level, totally different ground level. So the Pashto says should be the same. If one mechitza, let's say there's a fence of tziruf HaPesach that goes up until this point, then you have a sudden drop of more than 10 tefachim. This is less than 10 tefachim. This is less than 10 tefachim, so this is not considered a new ground level. But let's say if this would have been more than 10 tefachim, so this, and it's a sudden drop. So you can't have a mechitza that continues up until here, and then the mechitza continues up here. It's two different ground levels. So if all you need is a makam mukaf, so here's a makam, more than dalar and dalar, whole area, it's mukaf. Wherever you go, you bump into a mechitza. You walk over here, you're a mechitza. You walk over there, you can't walk out without bumping into a mechitza. So if all the halacha requires is, the makam should be mukaf, so the makam is mukaf. But if you require a cheftza of a mechitza, those are the two opinions in Tosfos. And not only is it a problem if five tefachim here, five tefachim there, and they're not lover to each other, it should be a problem going from one ground level to the other. So that's tricky over here. We'll have to check if we'll do the Erev tour and the Erev in the neighborhood by Fort George Hill over there where Rabbi Cohen lives. Maybe that's why he's so unhappy about the Erev. So there's a tricky part over there. You have to check to make sure that there's no problem there. Okay, maybe we will stop here. We're up to Perek Dalet. Some of the Klolit Tzuras HaPesach.